All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 22. Last week we started calling this last section in Revelation 22, the glory of heaven. And we saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared for the bride, the place that Jesus has prepared for us. Remember in John 14, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And this is the place right here. The New Jerusalem, the capital of the new heaven and the new earth. And by the way, I've told you before about that word prepare. I've heard preachers get up and say Jesus is feverishly trying to get through that place so that he can come for us. You know, I actually heard that. No, he spoke it into existence just like creation. The Greek word for prepare means it's not a continuing action. He spoke it into existence. Let's remind ourselves about something in Revelation 22, 1 through 2. And he showed me a pure river, 21, and he saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this is the New Jerusalem. Now, last time we described this city, as you look at this city from the outside, we described it, its glory, its construction, its measurements, and its relationship to God and the relationship to the nations. Well, tonight, we're going to look at the delight of the city. We're going to move a little further into the city. And what you'll see is what Adam lost in Genesis 3, we, through Christ, will gain again, paradise regained in Revelation 22, 1 through 5. Now, before I go on into verses 1 through 5, I thought it was necessary to go back and review a few things. Look at verses 24 through 26 of Revelation 21. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no light there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all the nations into it. I addressed this a little bit last week because some people believe, are there going to be nations in the New Jerusalem? We know there are nations in the millennium, okay? But the word here, I like what the Expositor's Bible Commentary says. The word nation stands for people of the new earth who will be servants of Christ, who will enter into the millennium. They will bring their offerings to the throne of God. These redeemed people are those who were in the millennial kingdom and now have access to the New Jerusalem. Now the Greek word again for nations means Gentiles or peoples. And I looked up what Warren Wiersbe said about this, and let me read this to you. The mention of nations in Revelation 21, 24 through 26 suggests there will be peoples, plural, on the new earth. We must not think that the earth will be populated with various nations such as exist today. Instead, these verses reflect the ancient practice of kings and nations bringing their wealth and glory to the city of the greatest king. In the heavenly city, everyone will honor the King of Kings. So that's the first thing I want to share with you. The second thing I want to look at before we get into our text, there are a lot of people that believe Revelation 21 and 22 is talking about the millennial kingdom. But that's not true. It's talking about the eternal state of the believer. It's talking about the New Jerusalem. It's not speaking about the millennial temple in Ezekiel, but the eternal state. You remember John saw in Revelation 21, 2, saw it coming down out of heaven. Now the millennium will be on the new earth, but this is seen coming out of heaven. This is the city. So tonight we're going to examine this. And by the way, there's one more thing I'd like to share with you. Why is this city not speaking of the millennial kingdom? Because remember our outline of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, we saw the vision of the glorified Christ that John got on the Isle of Patmos. Chapter 2 and 3, you see the church age, and we're in the Laodicean church age. 4 and 5, you see the rapture of the church and the church around the throne of God. Chapter 6 through 18, you see the tribulation period. Chapter 19, at the end of the tribulation period, you see the second coming of Christ. By the way, in Revelation 4 and 5, you see the throne around the church around the throne. Well, we're raptured, Revelation chapter 4. And then you have the tribulation period, chapter 6 through 18. And then you have the actual second coming in Revelation 19, verse 11, where Christ sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. And he comes to do war and battle with all the nations of the world that are gathered there in Megiddo. And we come with him, but we don't do any fighting. And then in chapter 20, you have the millennial kingdom. See, that comes first. That comes before Revelation 21 and 22. We have the great white throne judgment of the wicked and the new heaven and the new earth. And then Revelation 21 and 22, you see the new Jerusalem. So this is not the millennial kingdom. This is the eternal state of the believer. All of us that know him forever and ever will live in this city. Now, the Old Testament's prophets spoke of the millennium and the heavenly city in the same verse. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, the new heaven and new earth are clearly follow the millennial kingdom. Now, that may not mean nothing to you, but you'll be ready to defend that if someone says something to you. Tonight, we're going to look at the delight of the city. We're going to move inside this holy city, and we're going to see what was lost, the trauma of Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned, and the flood, Genesis 6 to 9. And we're going to see paradise regained. You know, the Bible begins with a garden, and it ends with a garden. You know, as far as the book of Revelation goes. Now, next Sunday night, we're going to move out of the visions that John saw, and we're going to move into the present. Jesus says, okay, this is what will come, but now this is how you respond to the book of Revelation. And we'll look at that beginning next week. So let's look first of all at the fullness of life and blessing. In verses 1 and 2, we see the water of life and the tree of life. Look at the water of life first of all in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You remember God is on his throne and the Lamb is at his right hand, right? And so This water of life, remember in the garden where Abraham came from? In the Ur of Chaldees, there was four rivers in Eden. But here, one river flowing from the throne down the middle of the great street. By the way, it's not streets, it's street. So you have this tree of life setting in the middle of the river. On either side, the fruits of those 12 trees and bear fruit. And we'll see what they're for. Psalms 46, verse 4 and 5 says, there is a river. The streams thereof shall be glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. What is this water of life speaking of? Well, it's the source of holiness and purity and spiritual life. Here, the water that is speaking of here speaks of life imparting and cleansing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are saved by the washing of regeneration and by the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. So it speaks of eternal life that flows through the throne of God out of the city and the new earth. It symbolizes blessing and also life. Let me prove that. John 14, 4, 14. John 4, 14. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, speaking to the woman. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So the water here speaks of everlasting life and everlasting blessing. John 7, verse 38, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his heart, shall flow rivers of living water. Now, everybody that's saved here tonight has not had water flow out of their belly unless you're sick, right? So it's speaking of eternal life, okay? Y'all follow me now. It is a symbol for eternal life and blessing. And then we move to verse 2, we see the tree of life. Note verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, or the healing of the people. And again, there's two ways you can interpret these verses. If you want to take them literally, I take them to mean something else. And I've proved that already with one of them. This tree grows on either side of the river, and it bears 12 kinds of fruit. You know, man was kicked out of the garden and forbidden access by the cherubim because God says, all right, you're in your sins. Now, Adam and Eve, I don't want you to eat of the tree of life and live forever in your condemnation, right? You realize that God in his mercy and judgment cast them out of the garden so they would not eat of the tree of life. They ate of the tree of good and evil, right? That brought their sin. But God cast them out so they wouldn't eat of the tree of life and then live forever without redemption. Everybody follow me? So in his mercy, he kicked them out of the garden. Now, man has access to the tree of life. What we did not have in the garden, we now have access to the tree of life. Speaking of eternal life, this tree bore 12 fruits every month, which speaks of God's provision for every season. Everything you will ever need, everything you'll be continuously provided for you in heaven. You know, you won't have to go around looking for a meal. You know, God has taken care of all that. If we eat, it will be for enjoyment, not sustenance. You remember when Jesus in his resurrected body, he wanted to prove to the disciples that he had a bodily resurrection. You remember he said, where's some bread? You know, let me eat. What was it, bread or fish? I can't remember. Fish, yeah. And I told Brother Glenn this morning, I said, I have a great congregation because if I mess up one little syllable, they're there to protect me, right? But anyway, he says, Jesus did not have to eat. He ate to prove to the disciples he was in his body. Now, you won't have to eat. I don't want to take no fun away from you, but Christ is our sustenance. You know, we won't have to eat no food unless we just want to. If Christ didn't have to eat it, but proved his bodily resurrection. And the same thing for us. So the leaves are for perpetual health and life. It speaks of perpetual health and life. So we see the fullness of life and blessing. Now let's go a little further in verse 3 through 5, the fullness of paradise. Read verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Remember, the curse came upon the earth as part of judgment because of Adam's sin. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That's important. You need to underline that. Because not only will we serve him in the millennial kingdom based upon what we did here, but we're going to serve him in heaven as well. Now, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, neither no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I had somebody ask me a question one time in another church. Says, well, what's to keep us from getting this New Jerusalem and sinning again, and it all starts over again? Well, what does the text say? They shall reign forever and ever. I always liked that movie, Sandlot. How many of you have seen that movie? A couple of scenes I wouldn't recommend, but there, what's that that comes up and one of the boys says, forever, you know? And this is what it's going to be. Forever we'll be in heaven. We'll be in the New Jerusalem. Forever, the Bible says. No more curse. Man could not get rid of the curse. It's there until Jesus takes it. The word of life, look at that. Verses 3 through 4. Notice that again. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. By the way, that word, there shall be no curse. In the Greek, it means no CNN and MSNBC, right? That's what it means. And if you watch CNN, I'll pray for your soul. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and no need, no candle. Why? Because the Lord's the light of it, right? I mean, we are in church forever in his presence. And it says, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, I want you to get the picture here. It's paradise regained. Perfect service in a perfect place, right? Forever. There won't be any mistakes in heaven. There won't be any mess-ups in heaven. Perfect service in a perfect place. Guess what? When you get to heaven, we're going to have 100% attendance, right? We won't have lights like we got tonight, right? There's going to be 100% participation and presence and worship forever and forever. We will assist him in whatever he desires, because it says his servants shall serve him. Now, the world pictures heaven as a cloud. We're playing a harp and we're floating through the sky. You know, no, that's not it at all, right? We will serve him. Now, that millennial verse that I've referred to in Matthew 25:21 says this: well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's the millennial verse. But also it says in the New Jerusalem that we will serve him. So if you want to do something in heaven, you better do it now, right? This is the training ground. You know, if you don't serve him here, you might be in the other place, right? He says here that we will serve him forever and ever. So get the picture: perfect fellowship and communion in a perfect place forever. Won't have any bad business meetings, right? Won't have any rogue Christian that upsets the apple cart. You know, everything. Pastor will remember all the dates and all the years, right? And a perfect memory. You know, in fact, I won't remember what's on earth, because I shared that verse out of you, Isaiah, that we will not remember what happened on this earth. It wouldn't be heaven if we could, right? And so we will reign forever, verse 5. The eternal capital of heaven, the New Jerusalem, will be a place of indescribable beauty. John tried to explain it the best he could, but I'm firmly convinced, even under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be grander than what John writes here. And yet we don't want to go there. Eternal capital of heaven, the New Jerusalem, will be a place of indescribable beauty. We will worship him, we will serve him, and we will reign with him forever in perfect joy and praise, right? Won't be any half-hearted singing in heaven, right? Won't be any half-hearted preaching in heaven, right? In fact, a lot of preachers won't be there. Won't be this, won't be that. It's going to be a perfect place for a perfect people. Now, we've got a bus out back ready to take us there if you want to go. What will heaven be like? We've seen the glory of heaven. What will heaven be like? It will be heaven, right? It will be heaven. We ain't got to depend on some five-year-old to write a book about what he went to heaven about and comes back and writes about purple this and purple that. If you want to know what heaven's going to be like, it's right here in Revelation 21 and 22, right? This is it. Now, next week, we're going to go further in the book of Revelation. What does all this mean? Beginning in verse 6, the Lord, through his visions, he talks to John and the church about what is our response as believers to the book of Revelation. What is our response? And I really feel sad for many preachers and many churches that don't study the book of Revelation, because they are missing a blessing, right? What is our response to all this? And don't worry about it. We'll cover it all next Sunday night, verse 6 through verse 21.